Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, you're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Liu Wild Dove and Gray Eyes Smith. And Liu is having technical problems tonight, so hopefully she'll be able to call in and hang out with us, even though she doesn't have internet. That said, tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies filled with poetry from around the world. So feel free to check those out on Amazon.com and help support these shows. All right, tonight's show is based off of a Rumi quote that says, "The wound is the place where light enters you." And some carryover poetry from my last show. And that contest was, "Who are you?" And then I said, "Tell us in words who you are." So that was the gist of the contests and tonight's show. All right, I'm going to check the studio here quick. Hello, Skype caller. Is that you, Weaver?
No, my dear. That's not me, I don't think. I'm on a line, but not on Skype.
Oh,
no.
Okay. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you. It's just after 3 o'clock in the morning, my favorite time of the day. So I'm great, thank you.
You really are a late-night poet, aren't you?
I surely am. I'm an all-night poet.
Yeah, no kidding. That's fabulous. Okay, so I'm going to post the first poem to the group, if you wouldn't mind reading that for me, Weaver.
Yes, of course. One moment, I'm just getting that up. Inside voices only, said the librarian. Oh, marvelous. Okay. I returned to my stillborn desk to write an opening verse with cedar, iris, and saffron to preserve only for special occasions. But one day, even this amber bottle will go stale. I thought numb myself with a handful of pills. Thought that would be too boring. I am a pharmacist, after all. Loathing to become nothingness, blankness on a page, as you did when you too fell silent. From the hospital, we drove past an old cemetery where to make a wish, they said, because the dead supposedly grant us wishes. Desperately, I exhale, gasping to live. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. But would you mind reading the author's notes as well?
Yes, of course. My hands cramped writing manuscript composed from all the flesh and bones I stripped from your urge of maddening hunger, where the lines seem suffocating, tentacles of near-ending abysmal, leading my way to art of nothingness, dying because gave too much of myself, knowingly destruction.
Thank you for reading that. And I liked it, you know. It has a melancholy type feel, you know. It's very sad and melancholic is what I say. And but it was a beautiful write and well read, Weaver. What did you think of the poem?
Very interesting. A little bit of humor in there as well, which is wonderful. You know, if you're diving into the depths, it's good to have a little bit of humor to bolster you up a little bit. But I really thought it was so interesting. I thought, numb myself with a handful of pills, though that would be too boring. I couldn't help laughing. I am a pharmacist after all. And then we have, you know, we go back into the sadness, loathing to become nothingness, blankness on a page. I think it was beautifully written. I love the driving past the cemetery. And people do say, hold your breath and make a wish. And that I thought was so clever because the dead supposedly grant us wishes. Yes, all over an amazingly good piece of poetry, and I really enjoyed it.
Beautiful comment, Weaver, thank you. And thank you for reading that as well. I'm going to grab a couple of callers here. Hello, Louie Wildove, how are you?
Hi, great. Just upset that my computer's not working. I'm going to have to apologize to everybody. I cannot get on AP on my computer. I cannot get on AP on my telephone. So I'm going to be winging it here. So hi, Gray. Thank you for helping me out. And hello, Katie. And you do have another caller, Gray.
Yes, I do. I will grab them right away. Area code 909. Who's calling, please?
Hi, guys. This is Tucker.
Hey,
Hi,
Tucker.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Happy to be here.
Thank you for calling in. Lee, did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
No, I didn't hear anything. I was trying to turn off my computer and restart it and use a different web page and everything, and nope. I'm sorry I missed it.
Okay, thank you. And, Sucker, did you get a chance to hear that?
No, I'm extremely fresh to the show right now. Just joined a few seconds ago.
All right, thank you. All right, so I'm going to grab the next poem here, and I'll post this to the board. And if you wouldn't mind reading this for me, Sucker, that would be great. Thank you.
Daffodil Field by Duke of SDP Dex Bailey. Full bloom, bursting canary, as bare feet sink gently on nature's cool, soft provided pillow, a meadow of fragrance thriving in its place and time. Sunbeams glisten freely off of tanned, untamed curves, a heavenly spotlight as her figure performs in perfect unison with the world around her. End poem.
Great read, sucker. And I like the picture. It's fantastic. But the poem is well written as well. It has a wonderful storyline to it. And I like the picture he paints of her sunbeams glisten off freely off of tanned, untamed curves. And, it's... It really has a wonderful light and airy essence to it. Great job, Dexter. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, this is full of sunshine and a beautiful picture. That is so provocative and so cool. But I love the full-blown bursting canary as bare feet sink gently on nature's cool, soft-provided pillow. Isn't that lovely? That's so nice. But I suppose, unfortunately, if you're going around sitting down on these things, you're going to be crushing the daffodils. Is that necessary? Yes, I thought it was absolutely... So sorry. I've got this awful sense of humor. I apologize. But I think it's...
No, we like your sense of humor.
Well, you haven't carted me off yet, so we're okay. Yes, I thought it was beautifully written. I love that this is such a loving... poem. This is all directed at this beautiful girl, and it's just so beautifully written, and you can feel this is somebody who loves somebody, which is so nice. And yes, so thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Lydia, what did you think?
Well, I want to thank Gray Eyes for copying the poems and sending them to me so I could read. I really appreciate it. This is what co-host out. What I liked, Sucker, was you did such a beautiful read of reading Dex imagery of this person. And, you know, to me, it doesn't matter what age you are, you know, to take your shoes or your sandals off and walk in the cool meadow of, you know, because there's a really cold when you lay on them. And then, you know, just the smell of the flowers to just all that surrounds you, and then the sun glistening off a tan curve. You know, this was just beautiful, just a simple act of beauty that is admired.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lunia. Thank you. And, Sucker, what did you think of the poem that you read?
I like the comments about the soft and airy nature of it, the sunshine. The picture is pretty, pretty intriguing too, but it alludes to like bigger things than the normal senses can provide, and I think that's very fantastic.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Sucker. All right. I'm going to grab the next poem here, and I'll post this to the board. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. This is called Ice Cream Words, and it's by A.R. Mundell. And then we'll get to reading that. Just one second here. Okay. Ice cream words. Sunny fun, we walk among nettles which brush shoulders and dogs still dripping cold. All day your words were warm like the sunlight and the greetings of passers-by. We travel home, sinking into grateful shade. Sweet cream cooling our tongues, though yours cooled too much, You speak, and I know it's over. I scream from your mouth, sinking into my skin, into my heart, where your words have turned it upside down. End poem. I like it. You know, it had amazing imagery. The metaphors were rich and understandable. It's very heartfelt and endearing and engaging right throughout. What did you think, Weaver?
I thought it was absolutely lovely, but I felt sadness there. You know, it started off with the warm sun and the nettles. Nettles brush your shoulders. That wouldn't be so cool. But words were warm like the sunlight and the greetings of passers-by. That's lovely. And then we get into this little bit of, though yours cool too much, you speak and I know it's over. Ah, that's sad. So, yes, it's a journey. The journey from some poor unsuspecting person having a lovely day is suddenly not only attacked by nettles and has her ice cream dripping, she's now been told that she's been turned down. That's awful, but beautifully written. I mean, the whole thing was there, wasn't it? It was all for you. You just sit back and listen to the story. I thought it was very well written. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Louie Wilder, what did you think?
I think Mundell wrote a fantastic poem here, and I enjoyed the way you read it, Gray Eyes. For me, you know, this is just like, you know, sometimes you start a day and you go out for fun and you're outside walking with the dogs, and I don't know if there's mist outside or they're working in some type of brush area that's, you know, wilderness-like or even desert-like. And it's, you know, and while they were walking, you know, the conversation between them was warm, and, you know, when there was people going by, you know, walking, because you're not the only one walking usually on these paths, you say hi to everybody, right? And then it says that they finally came home, and what do you like after being kind of in a wet, damp place? You know, you want a cup of coffee with cream and Kahlua, and you just enjoy it. But then something like Weaver brought up, there's a change here, where, you know, the warmth is no longer there. It's cool too much. And the ice, which means that it's something very unpleasant or hurtful that's being told to you, because it says the ice from your mouth is sinking into my skin and into my heart. You know, words really do hurt. You know, they have that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not true, because I have found that those words are just embedded and scarred in your mind. So, you know, I thought this was fabulous.
Great comment, Leah. Thank you. And Stucker, what did you think?
So the poem reminds me of my travels through the city. Like, you go out into the city, you have to take the bus or the train or grab a car, and you run into, like, all kinds of madness. The nettles brushing the shoulder, and dogs dripping wet. I see, like, maybe one or two, like, stray dogs wandering the streets a day, so that really hits home for me. And I try to make, like, this happy or calm interpretation of it, but it's really disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always ready to get home. There's no way to spin it in a warm light. I think so when you talk about it, it's like in the fifth stanza you speak, and I know it's over. Like, you can't reconcile with words. Can only twist it.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. All right, thank you, Stucker. Great comment. Okay, Weaver, I have the next poem up by Daniel Duchino, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Yes, one moment. Let me just open this up. Monster through time. I've been trying to figure out time, really my whole life. The Trinity, the trifecta, the triple trio of turmoil, past, present, and future. Now I finally think I understand. They're monsters. Defeat your fears, conquer the day, and the stereotypical sunset brings peace to the ones who survived. Days never stop. They are here. And they were. And you survived. And you remember. Hunger, thirst, disease, poisonous animals, poisonous plants. And of course, all the other warriors, so focused on their own victories, no care for the other swordsmen. But is the future that is pure fear? Spiderweb-filled basement with creaky stairs, when the power is out and fuses must be reset. No choice but to go down. A nighttime, desperate swim in the remote Amazon as crocodiles and pythons, piranhas and parasites decide with indifference. Still you must swim on or drown. Future. Pure blackness in a vision-only world. Lost rabbit dodging debris in a tenacious tornado. I am in an impossible tunnel which goes in all directions. And then in all directions I fly as a wailing spirit screaming in terror. Fear of tomorrow is a monster made of everything, including me. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And, you know, that's just a brilliant poem from Daniel. It's epic in its depth and insight. Hunger, thirst, disease, poisonous animal, poisonous plants. And, yes, of course, all of the warriors so focused on their own victories, no care for the other swordsmen. It is the future that is pure fear. Spiderweb-filled basement with creaky stairs when the power is out, fuses must be reset. No choice but to go down. You know, all these fears that haunt a person in their life are just mind-bending and when they're presented like this. Very dark and intriguing visuals and a totally engaging poem. Beautiful, beautiful read as well, Weaver. Great job, Daniel. And Louie, what did you think?
I think she did a beautiful job of reading Daniel's poem. You know, this just makes me think of, you know, all of us have different lives in the different ways we've had to grow up and endure daily, you know, and, you know, right here, it's just, there is, for some people, there is a lot of turmoil, unfortunately. And, you know, it's in our past, it's in our present, and possibly is going to be in our future, because a lot of the turmoil that we go through does affect our health and our mental being. And, you know, it does affect us. And we have to, you know, find a way to survive through hunger, thirst, disease, poisonous animals, poisoned plants, and, you know, Spider-Man. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's different thoughts here. You know, the care of, like, it talks about a warrior. You know, the warrior goes on and does what he does, but, you know, he doesn't look at the person who made his sword and his outfit and everything. You know, it's just, there's a lot of unthankfulness out there. And sometimes, you know, the python squeezes us, you know, and we have to find a way to get out of that and survive. And, you know, it's either you got to go through the mountain, over the mountain, around the mountain, whatever it takes to try to adjust into this. But the thing with this is you can do it. It is possible through all these obstacles and tragedies. And, you know, that fear that's there, you know, you're always in some ways going to have it because in some ways it protects you. You know, it gives you the street smarts that you need to survive in the world. And that's what I love about this poem. You know, we need to get over some of our fears, which you can do. But then there's also, you need to keep the fear to protect yourself and protect others. Sorry for the long comment, but this was a fantastic poem.
Well, that's fine. Thank you for a beautiful comment. And Tucker, what did you think?
I like it. I know this theme on all culture where everybody is trying to reconcile time, and it's impossible to place yourself in the past or the future, or even the present, cogently. So I like that fourth line or stanza there, monsters. We tend to judge everyone else and claim that they need to defeat their fears and conquer the day, see that stereotypical sunset, get through life. But the days never do stop. And we do go through experiences, for some of us, like hunger and thirst and disease, even, and encounter all kinds of wildlife that are poisonous to our well-being. But it's like the spider web filled basement motif,
mm-hmm.
because it makes that kind of like a spooky movie or something, or something that, if you really think about it, like you can overcome. But it's a real fear. It's like a fear of the dark. Like when you're taking out the trash at night in your safe home. The impossible tunnel that goes in all directions. It's confusing. It's ridiculously difficult to overcome that state of mind, to place yourself in the world and find a cogent direction, something that makes sense.
Yeah. Great comment, Sucker. Thank you. All right, you're up next to read, please. Oh, no, sorry, Weaver.
Did Weaver? Weaver didn't comment.
No, Weaver hasn't commented yet.
Oh, no, that's all right. Not a problem. I thought this was so deep, and it's how I feel about life, if I'm perfectly frank. You know, we think we have control. Mm-hmm. They say we're only, what, 3 meals away from total anarchy, and I think that's very true. People don't have a Scooby, you know, really. Could you go and live out in the wilderness? No, neither could I. Also, we have to consider that there is so much to be scared about out there. And we're so badly designed. We're so easily broken. You know, that's not good. You don't want to be fighting people. You don't. You want life to be sweet and nice and everybody love everybody else. Please, before I die.
I wish.
Yeah, exactly. Just one day when everybody says, hello, how are you? That's what I want. And then I'll go happy. But yes, mm-hmm. I thought this was beautifully. I mean, all these things are out to get us. I'm not leaving the house. I'm staying here. I think he wrote this so well. But he is a wonderful writer. He writes so well. And he gets, you know, you've got hunger, thirst, disease, poisonous animals, poisonous plants. He's made his point. You know, you don't really, you know, that's exactly what that life is out there. And I'm not overly fond of it. So thank you very much, Daniel. I loved it. I thought it was so clever. Thank you.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Oh, my. Oh, no. Get me a big gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you're up to read, please.
Okay. I can't see the title, Gray. So this is by Ray Cope. What is the title of the poem?
It's called Me.
Me by Ray Cope. I am not what you might call a social mixer. Yet, I play to the crowd. I am friendly with some, but I have no friends. No one must get that close. I embrace solitude. I hate loneliness. The path of the hermit smells sweet. The clown too holds his appeal for me. I thrive on the music of laughter, but dread being laughed at. I am happy, sad, kind, blind, and supposedly free. But who is me? I must never get that close. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lou.
Wow.
And I like the poem. You know, it really speaks to the way we go through life, you know, is that, yes, I play to the crowd. I am friendly with some, but I have no friends. No one must get that close. I embrace solitude. I hate loneliness. The path of the hermit smells sweet. The clown, too, holds his appeal for me. I thrive on the music of laughter, but dread being laughed at. You know, that's the juxtapositions of life exists every day in everything around us. So I thought it was a beautiful expression of who he is. And we are now into my leftovers from the Who Are You contest, just so you know. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, this is beautifully written. And I agree with all of it. I mean, this is basically me as well. I embrace solitude. I don't hate loneliness. And yes, I think this is beautifully written. There's somebody who really knows themselves. And I like that. I like truthfulness in people where you can face what it is you're good or bad at and don't pretend and don't say, oh, who did that? That wasn't me. You know, that kind of attitude is not my idea of the right way to be. So, yes, I think this is beautifully written, and I enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you. And, Sucker, what did you think?
This is a hard-hitting one for me. I'm trying right now to play to the crowd, I think that's... don't have a huge social life. I don't let people in. I really do enjoy solitude, but I do hate loneliness. I would love to just move to the forest and be on my own. But I would also like to be a clown in the city, on the streets, challenging views. I don't feel free, though. Well, I think this poem hits on the type of reconciliation we have to do to understand who we are.
Great comment. Thank you, Sucker. And I'd like to welcome caller 790 to the show. Or 780. Hi, Diane.
Well, hello, guys. How are you?
Hi, Diane. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
Yes, I did, Gray, and would love to comment on it.
Sure, please.
I feel similar to Sucker, and I can relate to that, like, at a certain point in my life. Now, my life is not a short one, so, I mean, I've enjoyed various stages of happiness, sadness, kindness, and blindness in my life. But I can relate to this at a level that I've been at in places in my life, and I wanted solitude like I wanted nothing. And people didn't bring solitude at that point in my life. So I can really relate to this piece and feel from the writer, I could feel that need for that solitude and that embracing the self rather than reaching out and embracing others. Some people have to live their lives like that their entire lives. and, you know, do have awesome lives with it. And I embrace solitude at times, and I embrace, like, I like the way it was described. I am a social mixer. Great wording there to say, yeah, absolutely, I go to the crowds, but I like solitude. That's not right. Really emotive.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Diane. And Lou Wildup, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was a fantastic poem by Ray Pope. You know, I can understand this because, you know, especially with COVID, this is something we've all had to go through where, you know, if you were a hermit before, you became an extra hermit. We're like a bear in hibernation. You can't come out, you know. And, you know, I understand this. You know what? I like solitude. I like having a cup of tea and petting my cat and listening to the birds and feeding the birds and not talking to a single person, just animals. Just animals, watering my plants. And you know what? I find great fulfillment and happiness. I also find great fulfillment in the quietness of writing a poem. You know, to me, when we do the radio shows, this is like if we went to a small mom and pop coffee shop and all of us are there and we're sharing our emotions and talking and commenting and reading, just like a book social, you know, and that, I enjoy that. I enjoy that. And we're all talking on the phone, you know, and to me, that is the path of hermit. It just smells sweet, you know. In fact, Gray Eyes, when I was having some issues a couple of years ago, he always told me, keep your old friends that have been your old friends, to keep them. I don't have to be popular. I never was. I hated being popular or being popular in school or in college at the university because you were judged by your looks. Don't judge me by my looks because to me, you know, like where he says here, the clown too holds his appeal for me, thrive on the music of laughter, but dread being laughed at. They would sit there and people are, you know, they're going to work. They have families. We're all different shapes and sizes, all different races. And then there was a group of guys that was standing out there and every woman that walked by, they would hold up a card giving you a rating from 1 to 10. Tell me that is not effing humiliating to judge somebody like that. You know, and, you know, I've never forgotten that. I walked around. I was not going to. It doesn't matter. I could have done it, you know, out of stubbornness, but that just depends on my hermit, you know. Sometimes I'll go out there like a lion and say, screw you. And other times, I'll walk around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I am happy. I am sad. I am kind. Sometimes I'm blind. And I'm so happy to have wonderful poetic friends that help guide me and, you know, give me this emotional support because I almost quit a couple of years ago because of something that happened and it was pretty bad. And I didn't want to write anymore. And I actually stopped writing for 2 months. And then another poet on here said, why did you stop writing? And I told her why. She says, no, just write. Even if you can't write what you want, you just write, and it did. And you have to learn to let people know who you can let in and who you can't. And that is a hard lesson to learn because everybody on the surface is not what they appear like in true life. So life is a process of learning, and I don't mind being a hermit. There's nothing sad about that.
Power to you, Lydia. Okay, I've got the next pen up, if you wouldn't mind, please, sucker.
Oh, good. We're on to the next. Give me 1 sec.
I'm so happy to spend this evening with you guys. You're so fabulous. I love you all.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, for being here. Poetic RW, a rap and tap. I have AKA nicknamed myself Super Poet, Art Revealer, you know it. Please put some wood on the fire and then gently stoke it. I'm telling you that you'll need to keep yourself very, very far this because of my rhymes, techniques, and poetic devices do very much kill. So when I flaunt them, it will freeze all hearers in total amazement. They are all coming out of me, much colder than the cold death of the Arctic, blasting these lyrical lines like onto a supernova explosion. The stars in the heavens, as previously foretold them, lyrics coming out of me, free like when they freed Nelson Mandela. I have the great ability to leap over all writer blocks. I'm up with the very best of them in any league, organization. Blasting lyrical lines like a supernova explosion. The stars in the heavens, as previously foretold them. Lyrics coming out of me free, like when they see Nelson Mandela. I have the great ability to high leap over all writer blocks, obstacle scene. This is a rap, and then a mighty, mighty tap. I say a rap, and then a tap. Let me humble myself and make no more personal accreation. Yes, excuse me, it's his chosen human vessel. Praise him. I'm a word and art revealer. His inspired, called servant poet. This is a rap, and then a mighty tap. I say a rap, and then a mighty tap. And poem.
Great read, Sucker. And I like it, you know, it had great rhythm and flow to it. And I like his nod to the higher spirit. And, you know, it doesn't lessen anything that he's provided us here in his wonderful rap and tap. So great write and great read. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, Sucker, I really wanted to hear you sing this one. It would have been so cool. I was waiting for you to get into it. I was just, because I heard you laugh a couple of times. I thought, right, he's going to go for it. He's going to get in there. But no, never mind. It was still wonderful.
Yeah, that got me in trouble the last time we were having me sing.
I remember. Oh, my God, that was so good. Oh, my goodness, that was so good. Yes, this is beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. I think it's meant to be Nelson Mandela, but maybe I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's his cousin. It's not his
cousin.
Can
I just read it? Like, I swear it does spell like it's Nielsen.
It does say Nielsen. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's his cousin. It could be.
Okay.
We don't know. I thought, yes. It was very clever. I thought this was, and I loved that. That last part was lovely. This is a rap and then a mighty tap. I say a rap and then a mighty tap. And the notes in the AN, a rap right, but very much fun and flow. Also praising him. Amen. I thought that was a lovely touch. It's nice that people can feel that they can, you know, they can show their beliefs without any problem and without any need to hide them. I think that's great. I'm not very spiritual myself. Well, I'm spiritual, but not a one God kind of spiritual. But I envy anybody who has a belief. I think it's a wonderful thing. If it makes people better, it's a good thing. So I think you did very well, Poetic Prince. I really enjoyed it. And I can see, look at him smiling. You can see, I bet he was singing it while he was writing it. So yes, thank you very much, Poetic Prince. I enjoyed your work.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
I thought this was fabulous. I really loved the way Sucker read it. And it made it even more enjoyable for me when I heard him kind of giggle at it because, you know, this is just fantastic, you know. I like his rap, you know. I like how he says that he doesn't get a writer's block. Where is it that, let's see. Let me humble myself and make no more personal accusations. Yes, God did choose me as his chosen human vessel. Praise him. I am the word and the art revealer, his inspired, called servant poet. You know, and, you know, there's always something, whether it's the creator or another poet or another poem or something we see or said that, you know, it just
like he says, don't get writer's block. Just let it be free and let it flow, 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 flow. Rap, tap, tap.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. And Diane, what did you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was probably the best poetic rap autobiography mm-hmm. I have ever read or heard. But the great right, it's like it definitely fits who am I. And I love how he was able to connect his, you know, beliefs and his talents, his art, his words, his ability to reveal the art in words and just how he, and I like his wordplay. I just glanced over this. For when I flaunt them, it will freeze all hearers in total amazement. And I just love that. It's like I expect listeners, and I love how he put his little touch in there. I love that. And blasting these lyrical lines on like onto a supernova explosion. He's got so much energy in here, and he shows mm-hmm. his art. He shows that he's an art revealer. He definitely shows that he knows what he's talking about, and to put it into a rap. Awesome job. I just thoroughly enjoyed it.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Diane. And I'd like to welcome caller 111 from, is that you, Naomi?
Yep.
Hi, Naomi. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello, Luyu. Hello.
Hey, Naomi.
I am. Who else is there? Hello, Skunk Woman. I think she's there. And,
yeah, we have Katie, Sucker, Diane, and Gray.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Hey, Naomi. Did you get a chance to hear Sucker read that last poem?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. No, I didn't. I just got on after.
Oh, no, you missed him laughing. I like his giggle.
I hear him now. Hello, Sucker.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to the show. And Sucker, what did you think of the poem?
I think it's a good progression.
Mm-hmm.
To write, you have to believe that you're capable. So you create this illusion, you light the fire, the wood on it. But then you speak to people and they just, they're so cold. They don't understand. They don't hear really anything you have to say if you're trying to write poetically.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great comment. Thank you, Sucker. And welcome to the show, Naomi. Great to have you. All right, so... posting up the next poem here. And Diane, do you wouldn't mind reading for our next fantastic poet? I will repost the link in 1 second here.
Okay.
Sorry, just 1 second while I get the link. Okay, here we go.
Yes, I would love to read that. Thank you very much, Gray.
Absolutely.
Battered but Beautiful by Diane D. And the quote I'm going to read, I like this quote. Maybe life isn't about avoiding the bruises. Maybe it's about collecting the scars to prove we showed up for it. So I purchased the bruises that faded not,
made monthly payments. My price was silent. Orchid loved the purples. Boat mulberry. Could see the strap marks, smell of the leather. Lines got second glances until they faded. Had mine to make my own, a pinch of fuchsia. In the darkness, I glow guts, inked beauty spots, tell a colorfully metal tale. I fucking survive. End poem.
Wow.
Beautiful read, man. It's a powerful poem. You know, we got cuts and bruises and great. And, you know, you suffered through it all and you fucking survived. So just a beautiful write with powerful sentiment to it. Well done, Diane. And, Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, Diane, this is a very personal thing. I think it's so brave. I mean, you might be writing about somebody completely different from yourself, and I'm going to take it as that because, you know, we sometimes don't realize that people do, they write things that are not necessarily about themselves, but they sound very personal. So, was somebody trying to say something? I'm sorry, I was hearing a noise. I thought somebody was trying to speak. Oh, yes, Diane, beautifully done. The wording, oh, I just thought it was, you brought in all those colors and the strap marks and the smell of leather. It, you know, there's a picture painted for you, and you can feel the pain. I thought it was beautifully written, and I love that you fucking survived.
Great comment. Thank you. Thank you, Weaver. And Lulu, what did you think?
You know, I agree with Weaver. The best revenge is surviving. You know, this brought back a lot of memories to me, the silence, you know, when you're being beaten, those bruises and how you couldn't talk about it or say anything about it due to threats. And also, God, that second stanza really affected me because my father used to go in his closet and he had leather belts and you could smell them because leather has that distinct smell. And he would take one out and we didn't know which one we were going to get beat with. So he would just sit there and just look at all his different size belts. It didn't matter. They all hurt. They all left bruises on your hands, your feet. You know, I had to learn to clench my hands underneath my chest as I laid on the bed because I was a violinist and I couldn't play my violin if you hurt my hands and my fingers. You know, so this brings back a lot of memories for me. And you know what? At night, I did learn to paint my skies. When I could, I would sneak out of the house and sit on the car with a blanket and look at the stars and the moon and talk to nature, you know, and that last stanza, in the darkness, I grew gut. Because you learn how to fight back, how to avoid things, how to avoid situations. Inked beauty spot, because there's something about ink on your fingers when you can express your emotions, things that you're not able to say. You can speak out in writing. And you know what? I did fucking survive. I made it without your help. God bless my mother. Because if it wasn't for my mother, I don't know where we would be.
Oh, I'm
yep,
so sorry, darling.
Mm-hmm.
And Stucker, what are your thoughts? Hello, Sucker.
He's still online.
I'm rolling with a general sentiment of what basically everybody else said. I was beaten and abused as a child and learned to distract myself in other worlds, I guess. Maybe it's a malingering, but you do want to smell the leather, you do want to smell the mechanics of the beating, etc. And you sort of grow out of it. Remember the first time my mom tried to beat me, I laughed at her.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, you laugh, you get hit harder. Because I did that with my mom one time. Oh, sucker. I like you, sucker.
you sort of take the paradigm and then rearrange the whole world out of it. It sucks, but you have to do it because you're tainted or stained already.
Absolutely. Great comment, sucker.
Sorry, sucker. You went through that, too.
Thanks.
Great. May I comment on the comments?
Sure. I was going to get Naomi's first, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot Naomi. My girl. Go ahead.
Yeah, she hasn't made a comment yet.
Yeah.
Naomi, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, well, this is hard for me because, I went through violence, too. I had a violent relationship for 12 years. And, you know, I haven't started really talking about it because, you know, I choke up every time I try to write about it. So, you know, I'm not really in that place.
Kisses, baby girl.
You know, the line that stuck out to me was in that third stanza when Diane wrote, "Had mine to make my own, a pinch of fuchsia." Because when you live in violence, you become violent yourself. And I remember I used to slap and punch myself in the face because, you know, I thought I was, you know, like say I was stupid and you know, why don't you get out of there?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, I made my own pinch of fuchsia, you know, through the violence that I would do to myself because I had three kids and, you know, why did I didn't get out? I finished by getting out after he tried to kill me and snapped me and held me in the house and just beat me black and blue and almost killed me. But you know, I did get out. I did get out. And, amazing right here. You know, it takes a lot of guts to write something like this, Diane. And, you know, yeah, that word fucking survived. You know, you can't put another word in there to express just how powerful that is, that survival. It's fucking survival right there. So yeah, amazing, right, Diane?
Absolutely, great comment. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Diane, what did you think?
Yeah, thank you all. I just want to say yes to Weaver. This was a personal write, and this was done for a contest called Beautifully Bruised, and I don't know, the quotes and everything, it called me. And yeah, it was, there is a personal touch to it because I grew up in a generation of leather straps in schools, at home, in churches. I grew up in that generation, right? So, but the biggest thing I wanted in this poem for me was to realize, yeah, I fucking survived. And the thing about it is the bruises show me as a victim, but the bruises do fade. And the victimization faded once I realized I am a survivor. So we are victims with this until we become survivors. And every single one of us here tonight is a survivor. And we all fucking survived. And the bruises do fade. But the survival is beautiful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing, Diane. That was very personal. And thank you, everybody, for sharing your personal stories. My love goes out to you all. Okay, Naomi, you're up next to read. Please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is called What If. I made you origami, one simple pleated rose, rope between its folds, how I missed your fingertips walking along my collarbone. You shoved it into your back pocket, along with all my love, breaking off little pieces of me with it, dragging them with you as you left. I knew enough was impossible. We were not right for one another, but yet so deliciously good. I still taste you on my lips and feel my quiver under your tongue. That way my heartbeat raced with each of your words murmured through my hair, in each touch, each of your smiles, and how I drowned into your eyes. And today, whenever you text me, just how much you've grown to love me. You can't imagine how many times I want to throw all rationality away and run into your arms, my head whispering, oh, no, 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 while my heart screams a million and poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi, and that was such a heart-wrenching poem. I mean, you could feel the loss and the love and the angst and the agony in each of your stanzas. So it was just a beautiful write. Well done. Thank you, Naomi.
Thank
Lisa,
you.
What did you think?
Ah, another beautiful piece of writing. I really enjoyed it. That heart and soul and love and desperation and everything. That's life, isn't it? Life is not easy. I think we've proved to amongst the small amount of people that we have here, life is not going to be a box of chocolates. It's going to be a box of coal or something. But yes, it's hard. it's hard, but we've all survived, and we're better for it, I think. Because I don't think I would have found my tongue and my willpower if I hadn't been bullied, because I would have just gone on the same, sitting in the corner and accepting it. So we all fight back, and that's the way to do it. I found out that people don't kick you if they're laughing, so that was quite good. It was handy. So I became the class clown. Easy way to get yourself out of trouble and into trouble. But yes, I thought this was it kind of really touched me. There's so many, but I made your origami one simple pleated rose. Rope between its folds, how I missed your fingertips walking along my collarbone. And then that harshness, you shoved it into your back pocket along with all my love, breaking off little pieces of me with it, dragging them with you as you left. Ah, so lovely and sad, but lovely. Well, thank you very much, Naomi. And I love your read. It was beautiful too, by the way. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Luyu, what did you think?
You know, Naomi, I could hear the emotion in your voice when you read this. This is very emotive, as it was beautifully penned. Very painful reminders. You know, there's a reason exes are exes. You should never get, I mean, it usually never works out. But, you know, the thing is that we crave sometimes what our mind knows is bad for us, but our heart just yearns for them, you know, because it, to me, in some ways, you can get addicted to a relationship that is not good for you. And in the end, we just, you know, we end up torturing ourselves because we know they're not going to change. And, you know, they always, you know, that part where you say you text me. I was reading about how a narcissist abuses its the person that they're with is because they give you just enough cheese in your little cage to keep you alive, but not enough for you to be nourished and do the things you want to do and flourish. And, you know, this was so painful, especially, you know, that dragging them with you, you know, like breaking off little pieces of me with it, dragging them with you as you left. And, you know, and eventually they'll find out how much you loved them. And, you know, but why couldn't you do that while you were here? You know, there's that once trust is broken, it's very hard to get it back. Beautiful, beautiful poem, deeply painful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great
thank
comment.
You,
thank you. And Sucker, what did you think?
I'm going to have to pass on this one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Diane, what did you think?
Oh, this was powerful. Naomi, girl, you know, I love one of my favorite parts of a poem is the opening. And I just love how you took us through the origami. I don't even know how to pronounce it. That's how much I don't know about it, except I know it's paper art. But one simple pleated rose wrote between its folds. I mean, my God, now I can just picture this. And I could feel it when you were reading it. I could feel your pen moving. I could feel the emotion from the tip of your pen to your voice. And it just, it grabbed me. And then you go through and I started to feel the feeling of loss, you know, what you lost. And that loss is, you know, that's the emotive part for me is the loss and the pain that follows it. And I really like, again, your word choices. There was one here. We're down. There was just one that I just loved the way you worded it. I knew an us was impossible. I just, that, the way you put that, it just drew out how much you wanted it, but you knew it was not for you as a writer, right? And I just, you know, I don't want to assume anything, but I just know that, like, this was written with emotion that had to have been felt. So great write, powerful write. Thank you so much. I'm tagging this one, girl.
Thank you so much, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
Yeah, it's written from a personal place about the same guy that I write about, you know, like all the time. And it's, you know, I'm in limbo all the time, and, you know, I know, but it keeps coming back and haunting me, so, yeah, so I get it out through my writing.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing such a personal story. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by Stelina, and I'm going to give that a read. Winged Muse, sired by Poseidon and a Gorgon dam in Medusa's throes of death, sprang rare beauty from the tainted blood, pure white as virgin snow, alluringly adorned with angel wings. Graceful and fleet were you, such soulful eyes and velvet mane, with noble knightly bearing. Where'er you placed your heavenly hooves, springs erupted from the earth. The poets quenched their assurant thirst on golden inspiration. Favored by muses, you sprinkled their gifts throughout the endless skies, resting on clouds of angels' breath in statuesque equine stance. To defeat the chimera with Bellophon, who bestowed a golden bridle to ride his steed into peril, where your courage knew no bounds. Many escapades were galloped across Olympian realms. When falling to earth, Beller open, read you to the gods to rise. On your sturdy back, thunder and lightning rode to strike the earth below. Chosen by Zeus on tempestuous nights to curb his irate demeanor. So loyal and true, he bestowed upon you the honor of constellation. Pegasus, from your home in the northern sky, your muse glows evermore. Well, That was a beautiful rate. I really liked it. It was fantastical, and you know, it was beautiful in its presentation and its storyline throughout. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And what did you think, Weaver?
I'm sorry, I've actually lost it. It's gone up, and it's disappeared at the top for some reason. Give me a moment, I might get it back. It was, I was listening, and it was lovely, but I'd like to be able to see it. Where are you? Where are you? Gone. Oh, like my life, it's over. Yes, I thought it was. I thought it was very nice. I thought it was very well written. I'm going to try and, maybe you could get back to me, and I'll try and find it.
Okay, sure. Lulu, what did you think?
Oh, this was spectacular imagery. The Greek mythology, I liked so many different images in her that she breathed in with such beauty. I liked where she sat, you know, she described the sofa eyes and velvet mane with noble knightly bearing, and, you know, that she says that, you know, you're flavored by the muses, you sprinkle the gifts throughout the endless skies. And then this last sentence of hers, oh, I just thought it was fantastic. Pegasus, from your home in the northern skies, your muse glows evermore. You know, just the beauty of this creature just flying through the constellations. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous poem on Greek mythology.
Absolutely. Thank you, Liu. And Sucker, what did you think?
I hate Greek mythology because I'm not educated through it. But I get the tone of this poem.
Sorry, you're done, Sucker? All right. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, this is, you know, this is a great lesson, almost like a history lesson in Greek mythology. You know, we learned so many things from this. And, you know, of course, wow, the language used, the imagery, like Luyu said, you know, just beautiful, you know, beautiful language here written all through. And used. I just dove right into this piece and swallowed it up. It's just beautiful. And, you know, the background, too, the background of Pegasus, you know, the flying, like, in the clouds there, just beautiful. And, yeah, beautiful right throughout, Stelina, and bravo, bravo, you know. Very rich, right? But it flows so beautifully. So bravo again. Beautifully done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, would you mind reading the next poem, please?
Yes, of course. No problem at all. I'll just get it. And, is that Poetry's Bread?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Jack Tomkovic, Poetry is Bread. Poetry is bread for the self, pens the poet. Then poetry is also warm buttery muffins, flaky chocolate croissant, crusty bagels, biscuits with honey, buttermilk cornbread, rye with caraway, pumpernickel and swirls, sourdough tart and tangy, vinettes, strudel, piarigo, ravioli, that sweet, a real poet chews. End poem. That was wonderful.
Great comment. What a great read. And I like the poem. You know, it provides, you know, sustenance. And, you know, it's deep. It's as deep as the poet is, you know, with the way he feeds his pen is how he lives his life. And a real poet, too. So, just fantastic, right? And a great read, Weaver. What did you think of the poem, Liu?
It just made me think about when you're breaking bread and you're sharing that with everybody. You know, and that's what we do with poetry, you know. We share our different emotions and the different things that we go through in life. And I'm not going to comment on each one, even though I want to, but when you did such a great job in reading this. The poetry is also warm, buttery muffins, flaky chocolate croissant. And right there, it made me think of Frank.
Yes.
Tell me I'm not wrong.
You know,
and it's true. We put all these different, sometimes it's meaty, sometimes it's sugary on Wednesday. Oh, it's so buttery delicious. I really enjoyed this poem. I wish I could save it, but I can't access it. This is fantastic. I really enjoyed it. You did a great job reading it.
Thank you, Liu. And Sucker, what did you think?
He left. He dropped. Diane,
oh,
it
did?
Says Diane dropped. Diane dropped and Sucker dropped.
Okay. All right. Naomi,
and if you got cut up, hold on a second. If anybody got dropped for any reason, please call back because sometimes the site will drop you. I'm sorry,
absolutely.
Frank. Go ahead.
Thank you. That's okay. Naomi, what
you're
did you think?
Naomi?
Oh, my gracious. Jack Tomkovic. Oh, yeah, I just love his writing. Every time he just gets me. And, you know, he has such a wide variety of poems. He writes about anything. And, you know, what a wonderful extended metaphor here, you know, for all that poetry is. Like you said, Liu, you know, like the wheat. You know, that's in all these things, you know, the poetry bakes, builds, rises, and, you know, it spreads, you know, through all our minds and nourishes us and builds us up sometimes. And, you know, it's empowering and it's, you know, it can be... read and in different ways, interpreted in different ways, bring us peace, bring us empowerment, you know, bring us, you know, the peace when we need it too. And you know, it nourishes us, poetry. So it's a beautiful thing. And it can be warm and cozy and reassuring, like, you know, a buttery muffin and, you know, biscuits with honey. And, you know,
they're making me
like
hungry.
Just like you said, you know, it can be... just, you know, like a flaky chocolate croissant. Just like, yeah, I agree. Frank's poetry, the way he makes us feel all warm and hot all over. But, yeah, so I just came to love Jack Tomkovic and his writing. It's real, it's raw, you know, it's authentic. He seems to have fun every time he writes, but you know, a lot of his writes, like this one, has too, and just beautifully written. Yeah, so bravo, Jack! Wonderful write.
Oh, great comment, Naomi. Thank you, and welcome back, Sucker.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Did you get a chance to hear that poem by Jack Tomkovic?
I didn't. I joined just during the last comment stream.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm posting the next poem here. And, all right, I think I did. By Poetic Picasso. Yeah, I'll repost that.
Yes.
Okay, here's the sound.
amor. In the peak of your bosom I discovered wild pleasures of the unrestrained night, the ecstasy of the moonbeams, of the naked hunger of desires, invoking the mysticism of the ancient mysteries of passion, with the softness of your skin, in glow of your exotic eyes. We uncover the veil of the seduction of our eroticism beneath the sable silk sheets covering us in its sultry shade, where we play the naughty game of hide and seek together, exposing the blade that lights up the fire to our lovemaking. We succumb to the sensual fruits of our love in lust, our lips entangle in the moisture of our kisses, our hands embrace in the sway of the cool breeze, caressing the fusion of our bodies, emerging as one. The ravenous spirits of our erogenous delights emerge from the depth of the Spanish chateaus, enticed by the heat emitted from our thermal radiation, burn into the core of our volcano eruption. The night could never disguise our yearning craving displayed in the penetrating moon is the shroud of our rapture, as we are the witnesses to its powerful incantation, the shadows of the spirit awakened by the moonlight. Tu amor es mi ser, mi cuerpo es tu hambre, solo vivo por tus besos, mojando mis labios. Your love is my thirst, my body is your hunger. I only live for your kisses, wetting my lips, mi amor. Me color in the poem.
Woo! That was hot.
Beautiful read and fantastic write. Congratulations on silver in our contest, History of Love for Art of Seduction. And that was a beautiful write, you know, very romantic and passionate. A wonderful write filled with delightful imagery and passion as well. So fantastic job, Frank. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, as usual, beautiful, beautiful writing. I really enjoy it. I love your word choice and the sensuality in your voice. It's very good. I liked it a lot. Thank you so much. I'm trying not to go... But yes,
that's okay.
I'm a last stander, lass, and this, your love is my thirst, my body is your hunger. I only live for your kisses, wetting my lips. Oh. I'm melting. Thank you for sharing. That was beautiful.
Good comment.
I'm
Weaver,
so bad.
Thank you. Yeah. And Lee, what did you think?
Well, I would say, oh, I like that stanza. And then he'd read the next one. Oh, that's an even better stanza. Oh, that's even better. It's just like impossible to choose. But what I loved was the stanza that Weaver just read in Spanish. Tu amor es mi sed.
Mi cuerpo es tu hambre. Sola vivo besos, mojando mis labios, wetting the lips. Oh, God, that was just, woo, you know? That's almost a mini orgasm. Okay, somebody can go next. Somebody can go next while I'm trying to breathe. I don't hear it.
We'll let the blood go back to your head. What did
yeah,
you
thank
think?
You, Ray. I hope I didn't embarrass you, sucker. We like to play around.
Sorry, I was in the bathroom. I didn't hear any of that.
You didn't get a chance to hear the poem?
Did you get to hear Picasso's poem? Poetic
no,
Picasso?
No, sorry. I literally was in the bathroom.
Oh, you missed something. Oh.
I did go back to the room. You guys get the poem.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because I heard Picasso's porn instead of poem.
Oh man.
sorry, Frank. Is it my time to comment?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, this is beyond eating a chocolate pizza. This is turning, a hot, smushy chocolate oozing all over. I loved that last stanza too, but I really liked, the stanza where he refers to the moon and the penetrating the shroud of our rapture as we are the witness powerful incantations, the shadows of the night, the shadows of the spirits awakened by the moonlight. That I thought that was beautifully worded through it. A great, great stanza. But, he starts out really strong. Eh? In the peaks of your bosom, I discovered wild pleasures. Beyond the rained night. So right away, he really captures the attention by all means. But, just a wonderful, sensual dripping chocolate caramel right here. Bravo, Frank.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. Great comment, everybody. Excellent poem and read, Frank. Okay, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Leah.
Okay. Oops. A Curse from a Broken Heart by Manuel. Pain. Walk in my mind's terrain. See through my blind eyes. Fill me as my heart dies. Hollow be the chest where lay the obsessed. Fantasy that once was reality. Only given pause. I stand here naked once more, nothing more than a whore to the lies you showered upon me like sand and other debris. Feel my wrath as I invoke the power with a single stroke. Fear my vengeance, pitiful thing, you who have taken from me everything. I will not take your wealth. I will not take your health. I will not take your progeny. I will not take your sanity. I will take your peace of mind I will take your quiet time. I will take your heart's desire and throw them all to the fire. You will be brought low, and you will finally know the extent with which you broke the heart you promised not to choke. End poem.
Beautiful read, Liu. And this poem's hard-hitting. You know, it's very impactful, and it's sadness, and it's despair, and it's wrath. You can feel the vengeance oozing out of this poem to the very end. And I thought it was just an excellent, excellent write by Liu Yanmiao. Very, very deep and impactful. What did you think, Liu?
Oh, I agree with you totally. There is so much pathos, so much pain. I mean, it's just incredible how much people can get out of themselves. And it is. It's like you're getting rid of something. It's been hanging around your head. It's been on your shoulders. You've carried it for ages. You've had enough. And so you just write it. You put it there and you move it on and admit to the fact that it was an absolutely horrible experience. And what an awful shame. That's just terrible. It really hurts that people have to, in the name of love. I mean, what on earth does that mean? In the name of love, I will hurt you, I will kick you, I will be horrible, and it's all because I love you. I don't think so. I don't like that at all, but I thought this was beautifully written. There's somebody who's had carried a lot of pain, and even if it's not a personal story, it is a personal story to me because this person has taken the time to write this so beautifully and to let us see what another person's life could be like, and I thought it was wonderful. What would have been better if you'd had a big bat and just hit him a few times? But yes, she's hopefully out of all that now, I hope. Beautifully written.
Thank you, Weaver. And Saka, what did you think? Hello, Sucker. Welcome back in. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is really, really powerful. Like, I mean, one of the most powerful poems that I read from Mamia. And, you know, she can write some really heavy, powerful stuff, you know. But, when she gets down to, you know, she's not going to take the artificial things away. She's going to take his peace of mind, his quiet time, you know, his heart's desire, and throw them all to the fire. You will be brought low. You will never know. You will finally know the extent with which you broke the heart you promised not to choke. Wonderful rhythm line throughout also, but doesn't take away from, you know, the powerfulness of the poem. It adds to it. And, you're just sucked into this poem, into the power of it, and you feel the emotions. Wow. It's so, so emotive, this poem, you know. It's like it's written from the bottom of the guts, you know, that are just thrown out there. And just amazing, amazing right here, man. Yeah, bravo, bravo.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Sucker, we'll try you one more time again. Did you get a chance to hear the poem? Oh, okay.
He dropped.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, we have Weavers up next.
I'd like to comment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lou. Yeah, please do.
you know, one of the things, you know, there's something about
being able to express yourself in poetry. It's almost like you're writing, you're not letting it spill out, but at the same token, you're taking back your life because you're listening to yourself. And what I loved about this poem is there just comes a time, you know, why get involved with somebody if you don't mean to be in a relationship, you know, and to be told, you know, I just the pain of here it is that you love that person and you want to spend your life with them, yet they make you feel blinded because you feel blinded because you say, why am I so stupid? Why do I keep this? You know, maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that, maybe if I go here, maybe if I go there. You know, the thing is that they're never satisfied. They're never, no matter how much you do to change, they're not happy with it. And also, they also don't want you to change. So there's that battle too. You know, they don't like it when you become independent. And to be called a whore, that's what you make me feel like, you piece of shit. When I'm, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm washing your dishes, I'm cooking, washing your socks and your filthy underwear, and, you know, taking care of you and possibly taking care of his progeny, and you treat me like this, you mofo. You know, there just comes a time where, you know, feel my wrath as I invoke. There just comes a time where you just say, no more, no more.
Yeah.
Oh, God, poor Manuel.
Wonderful comment, Leah. Thank you. Okay, so I've got the next poem up, and this is by Weaver of Dreams, and she has a SoundCloud.
I fight my natural instincts, trying hard to keep in step, ignoring the beating drum that only I can hear, while donning a persona acceptable to all. A discerning eye is the one thing that I fear. You might label me asocial if you saw through my facade, but the actress in me hides my lack of empathy. I change like a chameleon to deflect your piercing gaze, as I mimic caring, compassion, and pseudo-sympathy. People come and they go, one-dimensional at best. Years have passed, and I know I don't love, I tolerate. Divorces and discarded friends highlight that fact. Although I don't feel hate, I merely denigrate. I lavish my attention on you, listen to your facile tales, build you up, and for the few weeks before you bore me, I'll pretend we have a relationship. Then I'll tear you down. You'll think the fault is yours, and I'll be free. I may say I want to change for you, connect and care. For the briefest of moments, I might even think I could. But there's no need to set myself up to fail once more, as clear hindsight and history dictates I would.
Beautiful read. Weaver, would you mind reading your author's note?
Oh, yes, of course. I haven't actually got it. And here we are. Now, I had a lot of trouble with this. This is the only piece of poetry that I ever got trouble and bother with. I was actually reviled by the people that whose show it was on. So I have to say, I want to state for the record, this poem is pure fiction. I am not asocial, just a little antisocial. Thank you.
You know, I liked it. You know, it's forthright, it's personal, and you know, it really speaks to how some people live their lives. You know, changing like a chameleon to defect your piercing gaze, as I mimic caring, compassion, and pseudo sympathy. People come and go, one-dimensional at best. Years have passed, and I know I don't love. I tolerate divorces and discarded friends, highlight the fact that although I don't feel, I hate, I merely denigrate. And I mean, so it's just a powerful poem, very in your face and self-righteous. So, beautiful job. And I like it. You know, I mean, it was a fantastical, right? So that takes a lot of talent to put yourself in somebody's shoes who you're not wearing, whose you're not wearing. So beautifully done. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Weaver?
Oh, only that I was trying to stretch myself, and as you said, I like to put myself in other people's shoes and think how they would think. And I found this fascinating because I've known people like this. I mean, I could very easily be someone like this, yeah, but luckily I have a sense of humor, so I don't get that bad. But yes, that was it, basically. It was just a little bit of fun for me to play with someone else's mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Great job. Thank you. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, you did just a fantastic job on this, right? It is something that we have seen people put us through. And then at the same time, we learn from them, you know. We learn how to deal with people like this. It's not always so easy. You know, because it's true, you know, so many people in relationships leave you, and in friendships, just, you know, everything just disintegrates. And, you know, like that old thing, when shit hits the fan, you find out who your friends are. And I truly believe that, because these type of people will not be there for you. And I thought you did a fantastic job of doing this, Weaver. Just great. Gray Eyes?
Yes.
Is Stelina in the AP group?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay, well, she sent me it popped up on here. For some reason, I'm getting messages from AP, but I can't access them. And it says that I needed to send her an email so that she could call the show. But since I can't get on AP, I can't tell her. Yeah, it just popped up on Blog Talk Radio. I saw that maybe I can get on. Let me check. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry,
I don't have AP. Naomi needs to comment next.
Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was an amazing job you did, Kate, you know, building up that character. I just believed it, and for a while I was scared there. You scared me. What is this person? But, you know, it's just amazing right. And, you know, I just have to say that, you know, when you come in, you know, when you have people tear you down, and you know, especially in a relationship, you learn to be kind of hard. Like, you build a carapace, like I did anyway, and you know, it made me stronger. And sometimes a kind person, but you know, sometimes, you know, you learn to be a little bit on guard, and you don't let people easily. And you learn to watch out and be careful and be hard shelled, and you know, to burst through that hard shell, it takes a lot. So, yeah, I thought this was amazing character building here. And, you know, it takes a lot of talent to be able to do that. So bravo, Kate, on this piece. Just amazing life.
Oh, thank you. Very kind of you. Thank you. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the lesson I learned from it as well. People like that out there should just be ignored.
I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Naomi, would you mind reading for...
You know, this is an honor to read for Tom. Cranes and kites. Imagine this cloth
space, hands on an origami master, make creases and folds, bring the far near, time a whim, only measures age, becomes but a feather on a crane. I would measure kisses by tablespoons of wind. I become quiet, you fall into me. I am a tree entangling your kite after it has soared with the birds. Our hands meet and become oceans. Currents surge forth, new blood. We are twin stars with the gravity of light. Storms, lighting in touch, thunder in pulse, and poem.
Great read, Naomi. And I liked it. You know, it was very engaging in its reveal. You know, it really pulls you in from the very first line. Imagine this cloth, space, hand of an origami master, makes crease and fold, bring the far near, time a whim, only measures age, becomes but a feather on a crane. And I mean, you can see all that, you know, as you read through it. And then our hands become meat and become oceans, current surge forth, new blood. We are twin stars with the gravity of light. Storms, lightning, in touch, thunder and pulse. A beautiful poem on the subject of connecting and life itself. So a wonderful write. What did you think, Weaver?
Yes, exactly that. It's just a wonderful piece of poetry. And I really enjoyed the vision, the idea of this cloth being creased and folded and basically becoming something that's going to fly, becomes a feather on a crane. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm going off on myself there, just listening. I would measure kisses by tablespoons of wind. You fall into me. I am a tree entangling your kite. Oh, my. That's lovely. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. So he's there, ready to catch the kite. He's obviously made the kite and let it go, which is, you know, that's a big, brave thing to do. So he waits for that to come back, and it does. And so they meet again, and they are like twin stars with the gravity of light. Oh, lovely. I think it's an inspired piece of writing. There is so much imagery, and, you know, and I'm not very great on that kind of thing. I don't have that kind of mind, but I could see this. I could see the beautiful kites and the beautiful creases in it and the long tail, and then being caught by this tree. Beautiful. I loved it very much. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Louie, what did you think?
I thought it was a beautiful read as well as a beautiful poem. You know, the hands of an origami master, you know, that's something that, you know, for me when I was thinking about it, it takes time. And just like relationship, there are creases and there are folds. And, you know, depending on how, you know, our hands can make such beautiful art, but yet that art can be used in a relationship to show beauty in the hands of another, like the kisses. And then I really like that kite. I am the tree entangling your kite after it has sold a birth, but this was beautiful. Our hands met and become ocean. Currents surge forth, new blood. We are twin stars with the gravity of flight. You know, and that does happen. If you work with each other and be like a master that takes patience and kind and love and technique, you can apply that in a relationship. And I thought that was just, the imagery in here was just striking and breathtaking, especially when they finally meet and come together, they're folded together, they become new blood. You know, let your twin soul. This was just gorgeous.
Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I was just reading, you know, one of Tom's answers to a comment, and he says, this is one of my deeply scientific, meditational, spiritual pieces. My wife calls me an artistic nerd. But, you know, this is just beautiful. I mean, you know, it is spiritual and you know, peaceful and, you know, has a meditative quality to it. It just flows and it's thought-provoking too, but you just want to sway with it or, you know, just be carried with it, you know, just carried on the lines and just, you know, feel yourself drift away upon the words, I find. So just a beautiful, beautiful write here by Tom. Bravo, bravo.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is called Raspberry Jam on Toast, and it's by Pam Ray. Oh, sorry. I'm just going to...
send me the poem. There we go.
I'm doing that now. Sorry. I apologize.
I love that Jeopardy song. It's so catchy.
It really is. Okay, so this is called Raspberry Jam on Toast. The toast is golden brown, the color of skin, after long summer days and radiant sunlight. The butter melts into a puddle that takes on a life of its own, begging to baptize the back of the throat. I dip a teaspoon into the glass jar of raspberry jam, greedily scoop and spread. It is sticky and sweet, like love and kisses. Dripping from the corner of my mouth, the smile like an old bat with a saucer of cream. The tiny seeds find their way between my teeth as I nibble the crust, comfortably settling in to the pointed thoughts of you. End poem. I really love that. That was beautiful. I mean, you were right there along there. I mean, my mouth is watering now and craving raspberry toast. But yeah, she really captures the essence of raspberry toast and its ability to carry us aloft in our thoughts of other people. And I just thought it was beautiful, beautiful, right? It was a fun read as well. Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, like you, I'm pretty hungry. I mean, who could know that toast and jam could be so? Yes. So, I mean, the thought of it, never mind your 5-star hotels and your restaurants, I'll have the toast and the jam, thank you very much. Yes, I thought it was lovely. I mean, toast is golden brown, the color of skin after long summer days of radiant sunlight. Oh, but then you've got butter. I love butter. Oh, I love it. I know it's not good for you, but I love it. So, yes, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. So, and so it's such a happy little, you know, there's no excuses. I'm not saying, I'm sorry, I'm eating things that are probably not very good for me. None of that there. This is, I am enjoying myself. This is what I love, and I'm having it. And I think everybody should be able to do that. Just have what you fancy, even if it drips from the corner of your mouth. Go for it. Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
The best thing is to have raspberry jam on your lips when you kiss somebody.
Oh, yeah, that
buttery, that buttered raspberry on your lips. Oh, my God. To me, this was very erotic, but it wasn't, how do I say, I don't know. For me, it was erotic because I could just think about getting up the next day after being with my lover and getting a piece of toast, and then, oh, my God, that looks like the color of your bronze skin. And then, you know, you see that butter melting, and, you know, then you could baptize the back of your throat, but sweet and sweet, like loving kisses. You know, I just love this, especially this part. Dripping from the corner of my mouth, that smiles like an old cat with a saucer of cream.
I mean, that is the type of face you make when you're just about to want to kiss somebody or you're thinking about somebody. And, you know, food can be very erotic, especially if you've had an erotic night. Delicious, delicious, delicious poem. Now I want toast and jam with butter. Irish butter.
Now I'm hungry.
My God.
Oh. Now I'm hungry and horny. Thank you very much.
Well, I haven't eaten either. I've been drinking a broth, but now I'm hungry. Yeah, between the chocolate, the chocolate croissants and... Oh.
What a night. What a night. Hot and hungry. Love it.
And Naomi, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, yeah, the kind of poetry that I really dig, you know, just taking an everyday thing and just go with it. And, you know, Pam did such a marvelous job here.
Yes,
you know,
she did.
I dived in, and, you know, this is what we call, like, embeddo. I don't know, you know, that you focus on something and your thoughts just go. Such a beautiful. Mm-hmm. I learned that word recently, embedo. But just beautiful. And I find this so deeply, like Lou, you said, erotic and so sensual all the way. And, you know, as I nibble the crust, comfortably settling into pointed thoughts of you, just such a beautiful right here, Pam, and I read this earlier, and you know, I wanted just to see what a few rights were on the board tonight, and I couldn't stop myself. So I read the whole thing through, and I was just so activated by every single line. So beautiful, beautiful right, amazing job, you know, it's just stunning. Stunning, so sensual and so gripping, so beautiful, mm-hmm. Beautiful, Pam.
Well said, thank you, Naomi. And I'd like to thank everybody for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Have a wonderful night.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Great, thank you for helping me. Katie and Naomi, I love having you. Diane, I'm so sorry. And Sucker, thank you for calling. And Gray, I'm going to ask if you would please send Selena a message, because I don't want to offend anybody, because you know I love having all of you guys. Thank you so much for everything. And thank you, Phil. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Katie. Hi,
good
night,
ladies. All.
I love
Bye.
you. Love you guys.
Bye, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night. Good night.